There's nothing quite as comforting as gathering around with mom friends and sharing stories. Stories have a way of making us feel better, and they're great reminders that no family is perfect, and that's okay. So join us as we share some stories and laugh, learn, and grow together. It's the iMom Podcast. Welcome to this week's episode of the iMom Podcast. Abby, Chloe, Susan, and Megan here with you once again. Chloe's a sporty girl. Megan, all-star swimmer. I was not a sportsman as a child. I cheered and I played a season of t-ball and a season of winter ball. And then I broke my finger and I said, I'm done with this business. I'm over it. Susan, did you play sports as a kid?
I did.
What did you play?
Cheering, softball, and I danced.
Nice. Oh,
all right. So in this episode, we're going to talk about what to do if your kid's coach is harsh or a bully or just a bad situation. So Susan, can you share your story?
Yeah. So none of my boys became all-star athletes. So just know that right off the bat. But they were good when they were young and they liked to play everything. And they were young and we were playing everything. And then one of my boys was asked to be part of an AAU baseball team. And his best friend was doing it too. And so the parents talked and we said, okay, they're a little young, but you know, they've been invited, let's do it. And they had each other, which was great. So they got on this team and it was a winning team. And I think that's why they were picked, because they wanted to keep winning. And these both, my son and his friend were good. But the coach was harsh, and he was most harsh to his own son, who was the pitcher. And if you could see me, like, my husband would have to pull me back because he would start yelling. And you know, at this age, he's like 10. My son's like 10. They're sitting in the dugout watching the coach yell, and really, it was bad. I would end up with my fingers curled around the fence, staring the coach down, in empathy for his son, but also watching my son just kind of shrink. Yeah. Because, you know, baseball, they go up to bat and you're kind of by yourself. Well, the coach's son was always up there by himself pitching. But you watch the other kids just really afraid to go out there and perform then for fear that they would get yelled at by the other coach. And we made the decision that my husband tried talking to the coach, but this was not where we were going. And we wanted kids to play for fun.
Yeah.
As long as they could before it got really competitive. And so we pulled them.
Yeah. As I was like prepping for this episode, I feel like it can be so black and white like that. But then there's really a lot of gray and a lot of like, what do we do? When's the right time to pull them? What's the right reason to pull them? And it's just, I think for a lot of people, it can be a lot more complicated than, and it probably was not an easy choice for you.
It was not.
Just now in hindsight, now that he's not a professional baseball player, you're like, well, yeah, of course we weren't going to put up with that. But that's kind of what I'm going to talk about today. Like, how do you know when to pull the child? How do you know if it is problematic behavior on behalf of the coach? I did look up, there's certain signs of abusive coaching. One of them is your coach criticizes you as a person. So talking to the coach, the coach criticizes the child as a person. In other words, like, what's wrong with you? The coach creates a sense of instability. You know, it's an attempt to like manipulate and get control over the athlete. So like you let one team member go and get a sip of water and the other one's not allowed to. And then the third one is that the coach pushes the child through injuries.
Chloe, I had all three of those. Okay. I've had all three of those. Yeah, okay. I had a coach. My grandma had a stroke over Christmas and I wanted to go see her. I had to miss a tournament. He said if I missed, I would be, you know, essentially kicked off the team. He said, you need to come. He benched me the entire weekend. Mentally just
messed with you. You came?
I went to the tournament and he benched me the entire weekend.
Why?
Because he was a psycho.
But you missed you didn't go see your grandmother.
Like, how dare she even ask?
Yeah.
So I'm going to bench you.
That's manipulation and control.
Yeah. And then I had, you know, I had a lot of really good coaches. I just had some other. I mean, I had five coaches in my 4 years of college soccer. I just had a lot of weird stuff.
Turnover.
Yeah, turnover. You know, had a coach actually get fired for she lost her temper and I was hurt and I wanted to come off the field. She wouldn't let me come off the field. And then I said, I don't care. And I took a knee and I stopped the game because I was hurt. And when I came off the field, she grabbed me by my wrists and pulled me into her face and started screaming at me. I'd never been talked to like by an adult that way. I just went behind the bench and started sobbing. It was horrible. And then, I mean, this is a long story, but that Monday, I ended up talking to her. I organized a meeting with her and I said, don't ever talk to me like that again. And I was like, I'm not going to report that. But like I had my teammates' parents checking in on me. Like it was really crazy. Mm-hmm. And then I actually ended up getting called into the athletic director's office and I was part of this investigation. She got fired.
What do you think leads an adult to do that to a child? Like nobody goes into coaching thinking like Susan, your situation or this that you just described, Chloe. Like is it that they lose – is it ego? Is it a lack of awareness that – this isn't okay and people are watching me and this is a child?
Well, we just had an episode about yelling at your kids. These are clearly people that must yell at their kids. There's probably a lot of reasons. They see it as motivational or they care too much about winning and they don't care who they're running over to get
their job's on the line.
Yeah.
There's pressure.
Yeah.
I think competitiveness, these are competitors themselves. They've gone into a career of competition.
Yeah. They didn't listen to our podcast about yelling.
They didn't listen to our podcast about laughing when you want to cry.
So what do you do? Like another situation, one side is that the parent sees what the coach is doing and has to figure out whether to pull the child or not. The other side of it is that maybe the parent doesn't see what's happening and the child is wrestling with saying something or staying quiet. You know, like there's two different scenarios going on. So let's talk about the first one first, where the parent does see it. How do you create an environment where your child knows that they're, you can tell me what's going on. I won't be disappointed. Because I think that sometimes the child thinks, am I going to let mom and dad down?
I think the first thing you have to do is start when they're young. You have to go to their practices. You have to watch how are they responding to that. In the situation I shared about, he was 10, and it is not appropriate for an adult to yell in front of you the words he was using. It was totally inappropriate. Mm-hmm. When a child gets older, like when my kids played high school sports, then it's a conversation. Are you handling it? Are you still having fun? Are you taking it personally? Is it ruining your self-esteem? Yeah. Are you a better player or is it hindering your playing? Mm-hmm. You know, then you have to involve them in the decision. Different kids handle things differently. But it starts when they're young so that they know, hey, we're at your practice. We see what's happening. I don't know if we like the way this is happening. Let's talk about this. I'm going to talk to the coach. And, you know, our son was becoming intimidated.
Yeah.
And you don't want your kids to lose a love of the sport at an early age because of a bad coach.
Those are great questions to ask because in the situation with your son at 10 years old, the coach is responsible for teaching the sport and making the sport enjoyable. That's way too young to be yelling at a player like that. But at the same time, what motivates different players in sports is different. Mm-hmm. I actually liked when coaches yelled at me. I felt like they cared a lot and they were just intense. I didn't like when they screamed at me aggressively, but I had a lot of coaches who were yellers and it really didn't bother me. If you have those conversations with your child early and you understand, you know, when they get on another team and the coach is yelling, well, that doesn't really bother my son. He's probably okay.
Yeah. And it depends what they're saying.
True.
So, you know, you're pitching like a dog is not appropriate or, hey, you need to get out there and, you know, there's different things too. Is it personal or is it instructive yelling?
Yeah.
Megan, you have anything to say? Swimmer girl?
I'm the least competitive, least athletic person probably here. So
the great thing about the sport of swimming is your ears are underwater, so it doesn't matter.
Just say whatever you want to me. I can't hear you.
I did. This is funny. I did. One year I made it to regionals for swimming. And I knew I was sick, but I didn't realize I had bronchitis and an upper respiratory infection.
Oh gosh.
And I wasn't going to not swim because I made it to that point. And granted, like I said, I was not the best swimmer. So there was no way I was going to miss this. The fact that I actually made it there and it was my senior year. And I literally passed out in the middle of a pool. My friend had to jump in and pull me out.
Oh my gosh. Megan.
And because I just couldn't breathe. I really couldn't breathe. And the first thing my coach said to me when I came to was, you were doing your best time. You were keeping up with the number one, swimmer in the state. You would have gone to states, blah, 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 all this stuff. And I was just laughing. I was like, I do not care. Like, I'm just done. Like, I'm done. I was just laughing that was like, I disappointed him. And that was the first thing he said.
Okay. Meanwhile, she was going to the emergency room. Yeah. Just like, well, I'm happy to be alive.
So if you have a small child, like, you know, a 10-year-old or so, how do you know if they are scared of the coach? You know, or maybe a little bit older, where they are aware enough that they don't want to worry you. They don't want to upset you because they think, oh, well, mom and dad want me to play baseball. How do you know if they're scared? Is there something that they're doing, like on the way to practice or on the way to a game?
Yeah, my boys are not really expressive, but I could easily tell. They just don't want to go as much. They're not excited about it. And again, you just got to go and watch them in practice. Yeah. I think every mom intuitively kind of can read their kids pretty well.
Yeah. I also feel like for me, my performance suffered. So on the teams where I had like the one coach in particular who, you know, benched me that weekend, I mean, I played horribly that year, but I mean, I played better with better coaches.
Yeah. They're discouraged after the games. That's that performance thing, or just like feeling like they didn't get to be a part because they weren't as good as they should have.
Yeah.
Why do you think some parents put up with abusive coaches? Because some parents do see it happening. Why do you think they don't immediately just step up and be like, we're not doing this?
I think some parents are much more competitive with the kids. Yeah. And either they are living vicariously through their kid because they didn't make it to a certain level, or they, you know, weren't the athlete that their child is, and their child has the talent that they didn't have, or they're just super competitive and don't want to take them out. I've seen it happen a number of times where these kids will just keep going because they don't want to let their parents down, which is really tough to watch because you can see it, but it's like either they can't see it or they don't want to see it.
Or sometimes, like, I know a story of a kid that quit baseball after like 15 years of playing, and he was really upset and cried, and mom was like, I don't care. Like, why didn't you tell me sooner? There's this miscommunication of like, we're not talking about what really matters here.
So reality check. The biggest team that my kids played on was a football team because they had, 70-some, 80-some players. But the coach, our coach really loved the boys and tried really hard to get as many as possible scholarships because there were a lot of kids who really needed that. But he did the math for me one day, and I don't have it, of what percentage actually had a chance, A, to play for college, B, to play for a large college, C, to go professional. It is like minutia. When you start with little league football all the way up, and most other sports are much smaller teams.
Yeah.
So I think there's a little bit of a reality check in that most parents need to remember, this is supposed to be fun.
Well, and I mean, I played with a lot of girls who played in college. I played with some girls who played professionally in the World Cup. And if you don't love the sport, you're not going to go far. I can think of several girls I played with who were incredibly talented, quit after 1 year of college because they hated it. Mm-hmm. And the girls, like for me, y'all, I was not the best on the team, but I played 4 years in college because I loved soccer and I loved my teammates. And like I said, I had great coaches that really, even the years I didn't perform as well, I had really good memories.
Yeah.
Well, I think that when your child is playing a sport for several years, parents are seeing those years as an investment in something.
Yeah.
Even if it's not college ball or, you know, scholarships and stuff like that, they're still seeing all that as like, we've been working on this, we've been investing in this. And so to quit because the coach is a jerk, it's like, well, but what have we been putting all our time into? And I think they fail to see all of the things that their child has been gaining, the teamwork, the, you know, all the stuff you get from playing a sport. Yeah,
that's what I was going to say is like, I feel like the bigger point of playing team sports is that you learn to get along as a team and you learn to make sacrifices on the team and excel as a team and all those things.
Yeah. So what does mom do when dad wants to keep the kid in the sport? You know, he says, oh, you're being too sensitive. It's fine. This is how coaching works. And mom's like, I don't like it.
I think there is a time where you want to teach your child to push through. Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly they're going to have teachers that are rough on them and you've got to sit it out. You've got to stay in for the year and you've got to learn that, well, we're going to pray about next year's teacher. Mm-hmm. So there is, you got to balance that. You know, is this a situation where we can push through and they can learn some valuable lessons? We can talk about it all along the way. Or is this damaging?
Yeah.
And that's actually leads me to my next question, because it's strange to me that a lot of parents allow coaches to talk to their kids in a way that they wouldn't talk to their children. So I wonder what message it's sending the child about the parent. Like, you know, does my mom think this is okay? Why is she not stepping in? I'm getting reamed out by this coach, and or he's talking to me like in a demeaning way, attacking me personally, and my mom is letting it happen. You know, like, I'm sure that's some like deep layered psychology stuff, but like, our kids need us to be their advocate, you know? And so when we don't step in a reasonable way, at least, I think that it's sending them the wrong message.
It's a balance, because we can't protect our kids from everything, and they have to learn how to deal with situations. It's age. You've got to understand their age. At what point do we totally protect them, pull them out? At what point do we have a lot of conversations about it and say, you know, we're going to give your coach grace. He does not speak to you the way I would speak to you. But hey, you know what? We've raised you in the church and you're a Christian and you know those words are wrong. Maybe he doesn't. Yeah. You can be a witness to him by listening to his words and asking him to speak to you more kindly. You know, it's okay for them to learn to advocate for themselves, but it's all about their age and what they're ready, maturity-wise, to do.
So what do you do if you want to approach the coach to say something? What's the right thing to say? Because they're probably not going to take it well, you know, if you – and hopefully you would go to them personally before you would go up the ladder. So, like, what do you say – so that they don't then come back and punish your child, you know, by benching your kid.
And they will.
Yeah.
And they will. And that's where, you know, as a parent and a believer, you've got to have your own standard and be willing to do that. You know, I was a team mom for a couple of teams, and I did one say, you know, he's not responding to you because he doesn't respond to that kind of yelling. That coach is not going to change his way. And then, I, you know, but my son was in high school and I have to say, this is the way he is. I know it makes you freeze up when he does that. You've got to learn to overcome it, or you have to leave the team and decide this is not going to be. But, you know, his friends were there. He wanted to stay. So it's tough.
Yeah.
But these are life lessons. This is, I say all the time, sports, especially in the high school years, are great practice for the working world.
100%.
When you get out, you don't get to pick your boss all the time. Your boss is not going to adjust their style to you all the time. And so, you know, you kind of learn to deal and collaborate with different kind of personalities. It's tough. But
finding your role on the team, finding your role at work. Like, it is, it's invaluable.
I think, too, the other thing that moms need to be careful of is that we stand on the sidelines and we talk to another mom about the coach, and you think you're like solving the problem, but you're really just venting and gossiping. And so it's like, this is not helping my child at all. It's just making me, it's, you know, whatever that hormone, that thing that you get by gossiping, you're like, oh, I feel good because I'm connecting with this person over gossip. This is not helping the child. So I think that it's fine to find out if another parent is having the same concerns as you, because there's power in numbers. But
well, and there is this kind of, when they're younger and they play the sport, you as moms, oh, everybody gets a trophy. We want everybody, every coach should be nice. But you find out it doesn't last very long. You get up into the high school or the AAU teams and stuff. And that's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen in the world either. So there is this transition from little child, love the sport, to, you know, older years, this is getting serious and you've got to be able to handle different things. And we can't as moms control that, nor should we, because it's not real world.
Yeah. Well, I think the big picture to wrap up is that most of our kids, like you said, Susan, are not making to the collegiate level, much less professional. So we should be looking for them to participate in an activity where the adult in charge is a partner with us in building them up and growing their character and helping them grow, even if it is through like a difficult moment, a difficult relationship, that this is all a growing experience. And so, you know, I think zooming out and looking at the sport in that way can give you a little bit of perspective. And I do think that our All Pro Dad chapters, you know, having the dads in the schools with the kids is a great way to have other men of good character and learning about character together. I just think it's a good opportunity for kids to learn that stuff
and
off the field.
And those chapters now go into middle school and high school even. And it really is, moms can talk to coaches, absolutely. Moms can be involved in sports, but it helps when, and we've had to do this, when both of you go in and say, look, here's the situation that from our observation. We want to hear what you're thinking of as a coach, because we're trying to make a decision of what's best for our child.
Yeah. Look for this episode's post on Instagram. We would love for you to chime in and tell us some of your experiences that you've had with coaches. And thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to the iMom podcast. iMom is the motherhood program of the nonprofit organization Family First. Along with our fatherhood program, All Pro Dad, we exist to help you love your family well. Subscribe to our daily email, the iMom Minute, by going to imom.com/subscribe and get tons of great ideas, insight, and inspiration. The iMom podcast is hosted by me, Abby Watts, along with Susan Merrill, Megan Tigner, and Chloe Blumenthal.